All right, back to Professor Mueller and the flying car. That's what it is. Professor, a question from Derek and Eugene. I'd like to ask Dr. Mueller about the methods his air car will use for navigation. I'm assuming it will utilize some combination of GPS and ground-based stations for accurate positioning, but it will still have to interact greatly with air traffic control, regardless of the altitudes it cruises at. How do you imagine these communications to be handled?
Well, it uses, as you said, GPS and certainly many of the existing technologies, in addition to improve the accuracy of positioning of the vehicles. The FAA is introducing geostationary satellites specifically,
right,
to be used with the GPS. That combination is going to be able to position you very precisely at all times within a few feet. And, of course, they have something called ADS, which is a communication network between a central control station and the sky car or any other vehicle that utilizes this kind of controlled airspace that we're talking about.
Let me see if I can help you out here, Professor. Obviously, people with computers can go to your website, but that is not yet the bulk of the population. Is there any other way anybody can get information, videotapes, or is there a phone number they can call?
Yeah, they could call my number in Davis, which is Mueller International, at area code 530-756-5086.
What videotapes are available?
Well, we have what we've done. We have a videotape of a number of very well done programs. The Smithsonian Institute did a series called the Invention Series, and they had a segment on the sky car, which is very professionally done. There's a company in Europe, again, affiliate of Discovery, that did Extreme Machines that was shown on the Learning Channel, and other programs which we include. And then we also include the piece that Peter Jennings did called The Cutting Edge Technology on Primetime News. So it's about a total of a half an hour that shows many of the aircraft flying, because, of course, in each one of these segments, they take pieces of some of the history of the aircraft.
Now, I've heard that people can lay down money, how much money, to reserve one.
We have, as I said, over 100 deposits, $5,000 deposits on aircraft at this time.
Can you put down a $5,000 deposit to get, in other words,
you're getting a delivery position ready. You're getting a number which says, you know, the number 143 or whatever, although it'd be something like 200 and some now. 200 and some aircraft is your delivery slot.
At that point, you'd still be hand-making.
Well, advanced from where we are, certainly, but you don't have to take delivery. You could sell your delivery slot, or you could postpone taking the vehicle until you chose to take it.
Oh, I want one. First time caller line, you're on the air with Professor Mueller. Hi.
Hi, this is Ed calling from Miami.
Yes, sir.
And the president was here today.
Was he?
Yes, Sunshine State.
Was Miami enriched?
It was sunshine. I have three questions, short questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to know, concerning the magnetic field, or not Van Allen, but what effects would the radiation have on your car? And also, I'd like to know...
Wait a minute. I'm not clear on that. What effects would radiation have on your car? Well, yes, you get more radiation at, say, 12,000 feet. That's for sure. But anything to be concerned about, Doctor?
Well, would it interrupt the communication?
Not any more than you'd have with a 747 or any other aircraft. We use similar types of technologies, and, it may interrupt communication. You're talking about now if you had an airwave guide network. I don't believe that that's affected by, the GPS is affected by that.
Right. I have something facetious. Do you think your car would camouflage the UFOs that come to Area 51?
In other words, if there were enough of your cars flying around, nobody'd ever see a UFO or at least report one.
Well, our vehicle looks pretty different, as you probably know from the typical reported UFOs. Most of the UFOs, as I understand it, have been of circular or perhaps triangular shaped.
Yes.
There's not many that look like the Batmobile.
Yeah, it really does look like a caller. It looks like the Batmobile. Really does.
Batmobile.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Professor Mueller. Hi.
Well, I'll tell you what a pleasure. Dr. Mueller, back in 1990, I picked up a Popular Mechanics book magazine, and I saw your car on the front cover, and I read the entire article, and I said, 10 years, I'll be driving one of those. And I'm looking forward to it. So I got a couple quick questions.
I might miss you by a couple years, but we'll be there.
Yeah, a couple more years. I thought about 10 years, but I knew eventually I would be flying one of those. So, and I've also, I also remember seeing a special or something on Beyond 2000, which used to be a program on the Discovery
Channel. Right, we were on that many
years ago. That featured your car, and which pertains to one of my questions. They highlighted the fact that when there's multiple sky cars in the air, they'll all be controlled by some kind of air traffic control system, and you really won't even have to put your hand on the stick. I wonder if that's still in the works, if that's how you plan to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's really the only way this vehicle is going to have mass usage. You can't imagine at these sort of speeds in this vehicle this small operating in a free mode where people would make decisions to change directions or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right.
It's all computerized.
Right. Well, a couple more questions. Would you be able to break off on your own and go somewhere private with the vehicle, break away from the control?
Sure. If you stay out of this controlled airspace for us, which might be, as I suggest, something like 2,500-foot altitude at, say, 5,000 feet and another 2,500 feet at 22,000 feet, if you stay out of that, you could operate just like a conventional airplane, flying around, controlling it and behaving if you want to. I prefer to stay out of that region between you and I.
In other words, for pleasure, for
right.
pleasure flight.
For
well,
pleasure
yeah,
flight.
Exactly.
The way you would
aerobatics or things like that.
Aerobatics?
I had two more quick questions. Do you still, one real quick, is it going to be a pressurized vehicle?
It'll have to be at 25,000 feet, absolutely.
Okay, gotcha. And the last question, do you still use the small rotary engines placed back-to-back to counteract the torque?
That's exactly what we do. Yes, we developed the rotor power engine, which is based on the Wankel principle, and get an engine that you can hold in your lap that puts out 100 horsepower.
Exactly. Well, just for the record, Art, I'm calling from Virginia City. This is Michael.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. And two things I want to follow up on. The Avro car, what's that? What was that, or what is
it? The Avro car was a vehicle built in Canada. It was a ground effect machine with the idea that it could leave ground effect and fly. It was circular shaped. It really looked a lot like the so-called UFOs that people report. A great deal of money was invested in it by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, and the Canadian government. But it was a little bit ahead of its time in terms of concept and a little bit behind in terms of ability to execute on that concept. So it really never worked much more than as a ground effect machine. And actually, to be honest with you, it was very close to identical to the way it operated from our first aircraft, the one we flew that I built in my garage. It was based upon the Avro car concept.
Wow. And one other thing. You just said aerobatics. What would the car as designed, the four-passenger car as designed, be capable of?
Well, it's got a plus or minus 9G structural capability.
Wow.
You could do some pretty dynamic aerobatics, and of course you can climb vertically straight up, so you could take off, point the nose straight in the air, and go up like a rocket, although the most rapid rate of climb, which is almost a mile and a half a minute, is at about 45 degrees.
Holy smokes. That's really impressive. I would think the military would be all over you.
Well, there certainly is a lot of military interest in a flying Jeep, which this vehicle could very well become.
Exactly.
And there are some contracts coming down directed towards developing a vehicle for the military.
But I suppose that's where the money for the rest of the development would come from, so...
Well, it could come to, although we've tried to stay away from military money except for unmanned vehicles because we enjoy the freedom of this being a purely commercial project.
Mm-hmm. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Professor Mueller. Hi.
Hi, Art. Joe from Boston.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Art, before I get into my question, before we go off at 5 o'clock, can you give the number out a few more times after I'll take it down? Hi, Professor Muller. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad to speak with you. I am a handicapped person. Could a blind person conceivably fly this? And I ask that question in sincerity. And my other question is, you know how a hovercraft works with a helicopter blowing all the air around, and when they have trouble rescuing people with a basket, you could make something that you wouldn't have that much air blowing around with a hovercraft, maybe a basket with this type of engine or some type of thrusters built into it, or they're thinking of a device to keep the air away from the people that are in the water. Cause they'll
I think I'm with you. In other words, would it be a suitable, or could it be a suitable rescue craft, perhaps better than a helicopter?
I think it'd be much better than a helicopter. It's certainly much less susceptible to the environment, so that means it would be able to be much more stable. And you have four major jets going down from the vehicle, air jets. These could certainly be directed away from the person you're trying to rescue at some angle. So I hadn't thought about that particular point that you just made, but I could see that being something we could deal with that a helicopter could not deal with.
His other question, he is a sightless person, and the way you've described the system, when it's really all together, you would almost imagine a sightless person could use it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any problem at all. Absolutely. All you really do in this is, you could go to a voice actuated. We have used voice actuated coding as well. So you, rather than punching a number, you can just tell the computer where you want to go, and it'll take you there, and you'll be a passenger during the entire flight.
You know, it makes you sorry you can't live another 100 or 200 years to see all of this really mature. And
well, I think you're going to see this just because of the terminal nature of transportation today in most of the major cities. There has to be some alternative, and really, if you look around, you know, what better than a three-dimensional world trying to solve a two-dimensional problem other than a one-dimensional highway system?
Right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Professor Muller and Art Bell. Hi.
Hello, this is Linda. I've been listening to you since 1992.
Hi, Linda.
Dr. Muller, I was wondering about some implications about, I've got a three or four way question here. What about the borders from Canada, South America? Have they been talking to you?
Well, certainly one of the first uses of the vehicle, and we've had some discussions, is as a paramilitary vehicle for border patrol.
Yes, immigration.
It can do everything the helicopter can do, and it does everything an airplane does, and that's just exactly what these people need
That if they buy them in South America or wherever, and they're just a citizen of that country, what implications would that make for immigration?
I don't know if I understand precisely what your point.
Where would that leave our...
Well, our border patrol, where would it leave our border patrol and customs and all the rest of that?
Well, I think it gives them another tool if you're trying to deal with the border patrol options, because since you can land anywhere and you can move very quickly, you certainly would have another source for protecting our boundaries if that's your...
But it'd be a two-edged sword. In other words, somebody could fly into Mexico very quickly, load up, and come back.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's not, no single vehicle is going to be utilized all for good. And so you're absolutely right that the one thing you wouldn't want to have is have a vehicle like this in the hands of the drug traffickers, unless you had the authorities with the same vehicle. Maybe we have to have a souped-up model for the authorities.
Have you checked your list of those waiting for delivery?
Well, I know that all the lists that I have, all the people I have are private citizens, unless they're coming in under some other fictitious name.
Yes, because they've got the money, you know. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Professor Muller. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Been looking at that car since you published it 10 years ago, and I marvel at your will to keep at this for two, three decades.
Yes, it's been I'm pretty motivated by small victories along the line. Every time we fly one of these, it's a great reward, but it has been far more difficult to carry it forward obviously depended upon other technologies, new materials, and also raising money has been a big part of our activity.
Certainly, Aramid and composite and the Wankel's evolution has really helped.
Oh, yes, yes. We owe a lot to technology besides what we've developed ourselves.
I've spent part of my life and all my money designing certain things, and I just never seem to get off the dime. And mine were so grossly simple and off-the-shelf technologies. To struggle for 30 years with trying to marry unobtainium with a power plant that doesn't quite do it, I marvel.
Thank you. It has been a struggle, but it's had its rewards, and certainly in the process I've met a lot of wonderful people who believe as I do.
I look forward to the product. Art, please continue on the KPFA issue. It's a marvelous story.
I'm following it as closely as I can, sir. Thank you very much. All right, Doctor, hold on. We've got one more segment to do, so hang in there. What a wonderful product. I can't wait. Professor Mahler, Professor Paul Mahler, actually, is my guest from Mahler International. He's going to build the flying car. Four people, like a car. Take a look. It's on my website right now. If you have a computer, you've really got to see this. Just go to www.artbell.com. Go down to Professor Mahler's name. Go take a look at his website. It will blow you away. And we will get that number out after the break, so get a pencil and paper handy.